Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Hey, before you sit down, we're going to do just a quick little thing. We're going to do some exercise. You guys ready? So get an arm's length like this. I'll tie it in later. I'm not just making you suffer. So if you can't stand up or if you can't do, we're going to do jumping jacks in a second. Just you move your arms like this. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Go. Come on. Come on. Let's go. It's not that hot in here. Come on, y'all. You heard about Death Valley? All right. Go ahead and sit down. Thanks for your participation. Kinda. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are here to meet with God. Amen? Amen? That's the point of church, is to be reminded that we believe in God, that we are His. He is our God. We are His people, and He dwells among us. Like, that is the promise throughout all the Old Testament. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. And yes, I will shorten the sermon up as much as I can this morning. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, that's on page 960 in the Pew Bibles. We offer the page number, so if you don't know your way around the Bible, you can turn right to it, and those Bibles can be found right in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. We're going to read that in a little bit, so just hold your place there. I have a more serious question for you. Do you love the church? You might be saying, well, it was fine until you made us do jumping jacks. And then some of you are gaining your breath back. I want you to just take a minute and honestly ask yourself, how's your love for the church? Do you love the church? Now, I'm not saying emotion. I'm not saying because true love is a decision. For those of us that have been married for quite some time, we understand that when we come to Christ or when we first get, like, start dating, there's a visceral love. Like, you don't have to wake up in the morning and go, hey, I wonder if I love her or not, or I wonder if I love him or not. But, you know, add 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years into a marriage, there's a point where you wake up and you're like, ah, and then you have to decide, are you going to love? Even if the natural, organic, or visceral emotion isn't there. And that's the kind of love that I want to talk about. You see, because the love of the wife and a husband is similar to the love of a church. So again, the question, do you love the church? Now, you might be asking, what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? And why did we exercise? Don't worry, I'll get to that. But what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? You see, we're in a series right now where we're looking at the spiritual gifts. And if you weren't here last week, I'll save the time because I know it's hot of doing all the review of last week. So please go if you weren't here last week to listen to that sermon. But the big idea is this, is that we want to be a Bible-focused, Spirit-filled church. A Bible-focused, Spirit-filled church. I was told by a very wise man this week as I was discussing spiritual gifts. He says, if the church is all Bible, it dries up. If the church is all Spirit, it blows up, not in a good way. But if the church is Word and Spirit, it grows up. It grows up. Please hear me on this. Your gifts will be locked until your love for the church is rekindled. Your gifts will be locked, held up, until your love for the church is rekindled. Why do I say that? Because gifts are for the building up of the church. Gifts are for the building up of the church. And we will go into this whole grand idea of what God has for us and the idea that God, when we first come to know who Christ is, when we first go, I actually believe that my sins, the things that we confess, or maybe the Holy Spirit brought up into your mind while we were having that time of confession, that those things were actually and totally forgiven based on Christ's death. But he doesn't just leave us there. They're not just forgiven and cleansed. When he rose again on the third day, his life, his righteousness is imparted to us. So now not only have we been cleansed, we've been given a new life. But let us not forget, saints, that we were saved from our sin into the, anyone? Into the church, into what's known as the body of Christ. And as we talked about last week, in that process, the Holy Spirit enters into our lives and then gives us gifts. But those gifts are for the church. And so if your love is waning for the church, why would God empower that gift? If your love is waning for the church, why would God empower that gift? I'm just going to read this for us. You don't have to stand. Oftentimes, if you're visiting, we stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says this. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in, what's it say there? Yeah, you have to look at your Bibles to figure that out. Okay, let's try it again. I'm in 1 Corinthians 14:12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in. He reprioritizes the idea of spiritual gifts and says, hey, listen, I know you want this kind of power. I know you want this presence, and it's really cool to see someone prophesy. It goes on in Corinthians when it talks about that prophecy is actually kind of reading someone's mail. That all of a sudden someone could literally go, hey, I know we had a time of confession, but you, I saw what the Lord is doing in your life. There's some darkness. This is the kind of thing that happened in the first century church. You guys scared now? Hold on, I have a word. Hold on. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the kind of thing that, so people were just like, man, I want that gift. I want that kind of power. And the Apostle Paul's like, let's realign this and go, the reason why that's there is not for your glory or you can feel some sort of power, but for the building up of the church. So the unbelievers can be like, whoa, something beyond man is going on there. And where gifts go astray is when we make them about us. And I think that oftentimes it still comes to that same question, do you love the church? Like, why does God give us spiritual gifts? Is it not for the building up of the church? There's a story in Acts that there's this magician following around some of the disciples, and they're seeing all this power and stuff go on. And so he's like, hey, I want that. I want that. Like what you're doing, like I might have like sleight of hand and be able to pull a coin and make it disappear and pull it from behind your ear type thing. This kind of power, I've never known this kind of power. I want this power. So he offered to buy. He's like, can I buy that? Can I give you money to purchase it? And then Peter has some very choice words for him, and he rebukes him. You see, I think when we think of spiritual gifts, we ought to be careful to make sure it's not about us. It's for the building up of the church. And so when you see stuff happen that, you know, in more charismatic style churches, and it's kind of like man glorifying, then there's a reason for you to step back and go, huh, I wonder. You see, when we pursue to be a word-focused, spirit-filled church, we're seeking for the edification of the body of Christ. And what will quench that is when we make it about ourselves. My main point this morning is you are built to build. You are built to build. In Matthew 16, as we see kind of the whole work of Christ and why he came. He says in Matthew 16:15, up on the screen, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? As he's asking his disciples what people are saying. And then he asked them the question, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus responds one verse later. He says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see what? He's not talking about Peter. He's talking about the confession that Jesus is the Christ. We can go into that in more detail some other time. I've done it in a few other sermons. But what Christ builds the church on is a confession that Jesus is the Christ. You see, the Christ, the one that's spoken of all the way back in Genesis when sin first took place and God curses mankind, that the seed of Eve will crush the serpent's head. That's known as the proto-evangelion, the first gospel. And then all throughout the Old Testament, the Christ is coming to set us free. The Christ is coming. Like, we see all these different examples. Well, Jesus is like, hey, guess what? I'm that guy. You guys with me? I'm that guy. And so then Jesus says, upon that confession that you recognize that Jesus is life, death, and resurrection, as they will soon realize that based on that, that he will build his church. Christ came to build his church. And we align with that purpose. We align with Christ. And can I just tell you, there's no better way to live. I would even say that it is the way to live. Like, when we align ourselves, okay, let's just pretend God exists. I know we're in church, but let's just say you're here and you're kind of kicking the tires of church and trying to figure it all out. So just walk with me for a second. Let's just pretend God exists and that he actually created you. Let's pretend that that God who created you, us as a mankind, to live with a certain purpose. Wouldn't it seem that the best way to live would be within that purpose? But then we see things go amok. And we see all this brokenness in the world. So we wonder, why, God? Why are things so jacked up? But then it's revealed that Christ has come to resolve this problem of sin. And when he does, he actually saves people and redeems them back to the original purpose and design to do God's will and live in his ways. Do you know who that's talking about? To all who believe. And if you believe here this morning, that's you. So the best way to live is to align your purpose with Christ. And Christ's purpose is to build the church. Number one. So the main idea is you are built to build. Number one, you are built. So based on the gospel, we then have identity in Christ, and then we have a new purpose. Listen to this. It's a long scripture, but I think it's super important. In 1 Corinthians 3, as he leads up to the idea of spiritual gifts, he says this: for you are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, the Apostle Paul is like, we are all called to build. The foundation is who, church? And then now what are we doing? We're building on it. Let us build carefully. And then it goes on to say, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. This should scare us a little bit. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Ought we not be careful how we build and what foundation we build upon? And then it goes on to say, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You are built for a purpose. It's who you are. You are God's temple. He is that what he's using to build on the foundation of Christ is not an actual building, it's a people. And so we are called, like, we are built. In other words, why did God save us? He gave us a new identity that we're actually God's temple. What Dana was talking about, how the veil was torn and now we get to enter into God's presence. What's cool about that is we then pick up an identity that it's no longer what we do, how we do it, all these different things. It's based on what Christ has done, Christ alone, what he has done. But then on that foundation, we build. And that building is the church. All of us together. A local body, a visible expression of the invisible reality of what's known as the church, capital C, or the body of Christ. First Peter makes it pretty clear. He says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Okay, you yourselves, if indeed you believe, are being built up. In other words, it's happening to you as you enter into the body of Christ as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. See, this is who you are. You are being built up. You are built. It's who you are. It's what God is doing right now through his Spirit. So then it begs the question, what are we built for? Is it not to build God's church? See, you are built to build. What are we called to build? What God is building is church. His church. In Ephesians 4, a very common scripture in the last few weeks, he says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." In other words, God gives you a gift, God gives you a calling to interact within the body of Christ. For what? So that you can have Paul's tri-tip in a few weeks? Maybe. Some of you are like, that's a hard one, bro. Like, we'll see. It is really good if you haven't tried it. Make sure you come on that Sunday. But the bottom line is that we are all here to build one another up. It's not a social club. It's not like anything else other than the fact that we come and gather, and then during the week, so we gather and then we spread out in the week to build the church, which ties into our vision statement to help people. We're a family who exists for people to find and follow Jesus. So we not only build in width where we help people find Jesus and show, hey, Jesus, he's the best way to live. Like, he's the one. He can save you from your sin. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Like, it's Jesus. And we reveal the Christ to people, but then we also grow in depth to follow Jesus and walk alongside each other. Be able to go, hey, this is the way, bro. This is the way, sis. Let's live as God would have us live. And a word study in the Greek for the word build, as we build up the body of Christ, it says this in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. I'll just read it to you. The individual Christian contributes to the building and upbuilding because this is ultimately, listen to this, the true work of God. Who would have thought that a small, scrappy church like us would be a part of the grand design of our divine creator? But yet, here we are. Told by the truth of Scripture, this is who you are, this is what we do. Man, it's good news. What does he give us to build with? Why we're in this series. He gives us gifts. He gives us gifts to build with. But it's not like a Christmas gift. Because I think sometimes we think like, okay, I got a prop because Paul always brings props and why not? So, and I wrapped this myself, just to be clear. Very last minute and kind of messed up. But when you get a Christmas gift, the joy in Christmas is because you receive something that you really want. But just imagine you open up your gift, you're all excited, and you pull out a used hammer. You're like, huh. Now, the only way this would be an amazing gift is if your purpose was to build. Guess what? See, God gives you a gift so that you can build the body of Christ. Whether it be a hammer or something, he uses this kind of metaphor throughout to talk about the building and who we are and this foundation, and we're bricks, we're stones, we're living stones. And he uses things like the body intricately joined together with bones and marrow and DNA and all of it. Like, he uses these expressions to say, you as an individual have been given a gift, but that gift is to build up the body of Christ. You are built to build. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. It says, but by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, not to think of himself what? More highly than he ought to think. Now, why do I say that? Well, this is in the context of where he talks about gifts right after this. In other words, you've been given a gift, but it's for other people. You're being built up so that you can build. It's not so that you can just kind of just keep growing. And that's why I'll tie in now the exercise. At the end of the day, being the body of Christ, we are called to be a healthy body. And so sometimes, what does it look like to have a healthy body? Good diet, some exercise. Maybe we need to have a class on that. Like getting the right kind of vitamins and minerals in your body. Like all these different things, right? Like, this is a part of having a healthy body. In one sense, we are called to go, hey, brother. Hey, sis, it seems like our body is getting a little overweight. Or it seems like our body is a little malnutritioned. What that doesn't mean, and it could, but that doesn't mean it's just on leadership to fix the issue. Because it's just not, like, I'm not the head. Jesus is. And he calls us all as a part of the body to be able to humble ourselves and go, hey, how can I jump in, get my hands dirty, and make our body healthy? And hopefully, even right now, the Spirit's like, yeah, I need to jump in more. You need to stop back and stand on the sidelines and being a couch coach from like watching NFL, which starts next week. Super excited about that. But the bottom line is, bring it back. The bottom line is that we can coach from the couch all day long, but that's not the body of Christ. You are called to be a player and to jump in the game. Because you are built to build. And so we build each other. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to what? Serve. Okay, you guys with me? It's right up here. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. We are called to serve one another. You see, the church is not a building, it's a people. Amen? And so we are called to come alongside one another. God has saved us from our sin to the church, and we are called to use the tools that God has given us. It could be more than one. The gift that God has given us to build our church to the glory of God and our joy. Now, here's the application. Number one, I will rekindle my love for the church. Some of you guys need to hear that and say that. I will rekindle my love for the church. There's a lot going on here, folks, with COVID and all the stuff that we saw politically and racially. And we have all kinds of stuff and divisions in the church, and we have scandals going on. And when we talk about gifts, there's abuses of gifts. There's a lot of reasons to not love the church. Can we just be honest? But biblically, we're called to love the body of Christ no matter how ugly she is, how beat up she is, And when all of us stop criticizing and instead begin to rekindle that love for the body of Christ, and at the very least, if you're like, I can't think of any reason why I would love the body of Christ. If you're in that spot, the reason you have is because Christ died for the church. At the bare minimum, Christ died for this body that you're not even liking right now. But there's so much more. Number two, I know why I was built. That goes into your purpose. Why are you here? Why did God save you? To build up the body of Christ. Number three, I will build the church. I will build the church. If you are willing, say these with me. Number one, I will rekindle my love for the church. Let's try it again, a little more emphasis. You guys ready now? Okay, the count of three. One, two, three. I will rekindle my love for the church. Number two, I know why I was built. Number three,
I will build the church.
You see in 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says this. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. Now, what we would normally do is have a time where we would do that. If you have a testimony to share, a word from the Lord to share, we would normally do that, but it is hot. So what we're going to do is do that next week. So I want you to start like this week praying. God, how can I rekindle my love for the church? What's stopping me? What's in the way of me loving the church? And maybe it's just like, oh yeah, I got to remember who I am and why God saved me. And then come next week with a refreshed and renewed purpose to build this local expression of the universal body of Christ. Amen? Amen. If I could have the band come up. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask that you would now, by your Spirit, empower us. Where we're at as a people, Lord God, and I know we're kind of all over the map, but I pray for some that you would rekindle the love for the church. For others, they would realize, maybe for the first time, they have this grand purpose and design over their lives, and that you would help start that process to begin to dive into the scriptures and figure out, what does this mean for me? How do I live? So that we could all build up the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.